Philosopher George Santayana is credited with saying, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." Is that what we're experiencing now? Hi, I'm Rob West. If you're 50 or older, you might think history is repeating itself, that we're seeing many of the same economic conditions as the 1970s. I'll talk about that today with Mark Biller, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is Mark Biller. He's executive editor at Sound Mind Investing, and he's probably too young to remember much about the 1970s, but he's certainly been studying the economics of that period, and we're delighted that Mark's going to be joining us today as we take a look at the current market conditions and what's going on around us. Certainly lots of volatility. We're getting a flood of economic data and earnings. Are we in a recession? Are we not? Has inflation peaked? Has it not? Is stagflation the new order of the day? We'll talk about all of that. Mark, great to have you with us.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be with you today.
Hey, Mark, we're looking at an article you wrote for the latest SMI newsletter. It was called 1970s Redux. What exactly are the similarities between now and the 1970s?
Yeah, well, there are quite a few, Rob. You know, we've got soaring energy prices today. We've got this relentless inflation for the first time really in a few decades. And now we're seeing slowing economic growth. We've got a stock market that's coming off a long period of really impressive gains. And even more specifically, that market has been led by a relatively small group of these seemingly invincible growth giants, you know, the FANG stocks, Apple, Amazon, Google. And so, you know, I'd say big picture, you know, the last significant pivot that the market has seen from a low inflation environment to a higher inflation environment happened in the late 60s. So it's pretty natural then that today's investors are looking back to that late 60s, early 70s period to study the similarities, because that's really the last example of this type of inflationary surge. And as they're doing that, they're finding these similarities and things in common.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Mark. So what does that mean then for investing?
Well, you know, the big thing that jumps out to a stock market historian of any type when you start talking 1960s, 1970s, is the stock market basically flattened out for 16 years between 1966 and 1982. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the big index of that era, was the same in 1982 as it was in 1966.
Wow.
And that actually overstates how well the market did, as poor as that sounds, because you had this really high inflation through that period eroding the value of those dollars. So, you know, suffice it to say that it really was not a good time to be a stock investor at all. So getting to this article that we wrote, you know, the main point of the article actually was not to say, hey, we're going into another period like that 1966 to 82 period. You know, maybe we are, maybe we aren't. But the main point was really to alert our readers that there are these long pauses in market history, and they aren't really as uncommon as you'd think. So there's a chart in this article, and if listeners are interested, this article is at soundmindinvesting.org. You can see this chart. It shows the performance of the stock market going all the way back to 1930, and it makes some adjustments to the chart. So it's not the typical just swooping up and to the right kind of stock market chart that most of us have seen, but it actually averages things out a little bit in a way that makes some of these moves a little bit more visible, these historical moves. And what the chart shows is over the last 90 years, the market has moved through several of these really distinct bullish, meaning upward periods, bearish, downward periods, and sideways periods. And there are some of these uncomfortably long periods where the market just flattened out.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue to unpack that, Mark. Talk about the implications of these sideways markets. What are those periods in terms of effect? What effect do they have on investors? What do we need to consider if we're in an extended bear market as well? Mark Biller with us today on American Family Radio. This is MoneyWise, and we'll be right back.
Airing the Addisons.
Sherry B. and Jay Mack are on tap to help us navigate the show. Will the Great, where do we go next?
All right, let's go to Brad in Arkansas. Hi, Brad.
Good afternoon. I enjoy your show, as always.
Applying Scripture to Life.
You can talk about anything that we have discussed this week or maybe something that you want to bring to our attention. If we don't know about it, we're just going to tell you we don't know about it. You know, and then you'll just have to, you know, judge me. I'm sorry.
Airing the Addisons. Weekdays at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Harrington, founder of the pro-life group Created Equal and host of Activist Radio, The Mark Harrington Show. Created Equal is all about saving the lives of unborn children. Each week, I cover the latest pro-life news and feature interviews with unsung heroes from across the nation who are making a difference for the cause of life, liberty, and justice. Join me every Sunday afternoon at 5:30 for The Mark Harrington Show here on American Family Radio and discover how you, too, can help protect the lives of the most innocent among us.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones, create a will, and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions, and you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. I'm Rob West, your host. Joining me for a few segments today in the broadcast, our good friend Mark Biller from Sound Mind Investing. He's the executive editor. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. We'll be taking your calls and questions today, specifically on investing and investments. What are you thinking about as you think about your long-term investments in the stock market? Have you moved to the sideline and you're wondering whether you should get back in? Are you really nervous about the volatility? Are you seeing some things that cause you a concern or question? We'd love to hear from you today at 800-525-7000. Mark will be here to answer your calls, at least for a portion of the broadcast today. So investing-related questions will go first. 800-525-7000 with lines open. Mark, before the break, you were talking about this article that you all have written recently called 1970s Redux. As you look at the similarities between now and the 1970s in terms of the market, and you were explaining just before the break a really interesting chart that you all produced as a part of this that really normalizes some of these large movements of the market to a different scale, so you can see these distinct bull, bear, but also sideways periods. Explain a bit more about what you've done.
Yeah. So, you know, most investors, I think, are pretty aware that the market occasionally goes through these really big, long rallies. We call them secular bull markets. And a lot of investors are familiar that we had one from 1982 till 2000. We had another one from 2009 until last year, 2021. But what a lot of investors aren't quite as familiar with is these secular bear markets. Now, that can be a little misleading because we're not talking about a period where the market just goes down in a straight line for many years. That rarely ever happens. But we do have these sideways periods, like we were just talking about. 1966 to 82 was one, and 2000 to 2010 was another. Now, what these periods usually look like is they're flat over the whole period, but they're punctuated by smaller bull and bear markets within that longer period. So, for example, between 2000 and 2010, we had two big bear markets of 50% down each. But over the whole decade, the market was roughly flat. So those are what we're talking about with these secular bear markets.
Yeah, really interesting. 800-525-7000. If you have an investing question for Mark Biller, we'll be going to the phones in just a moment. Mark, what effect do these periods have on investors? I suspect it affects sentiment and a whole lot of other things.
Yeah, absolutely. Usually you come into one of those periods with investors extremely optimistic and valuations of stocks very high as a result. And over that kind of long grinding period, a lot of that optimism wears away. Yeah. And the price that investors are willing to pay for stocks also grinds down over time, which affects measurements like the price to earnings ratio usually comes down, that sort of thing. In terms of the direct impact on investors, one of the things that we're watching is there's been a pretty big shift over the last 20, 25 years where a lot of today's investors really have bought into buy and hold using index funds. That's kind of the dominant strategy today. Sure. And when you see periods like this where the market really doesn't go anywhere for a decade or longer, you know, that's not going to be great for that type of approach. So, you know, seeing these, and the point of the article, again, was just to point out these do come along from time to time. And if we are transitioning from a low inflation environment back to a higher inflation environment, then we need to consider the possibility that we could see that type of market ahead. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to worry about that type of transition. We just need to be aware that it could be coming.
Yeah, no doubt. You can read this article that we're exploring today, 1970s Redux, at soundmindinvesting.org. In the article, Mark, you make the point that we need to consider or factor in these secular bear markets you're describing. What does that look like as an investor to consider that in the equation?
Yeah, Rob, I think there are two key questions, really, that are going to heavily influence how a person views this type of market plateau possibility. And the first of those questions is how long is your investing time frame? Yeah. So a 40-year-old investor with decades ahead of them is going to react pretty differently, or at least they should, than maybe a 60-year-old investor who's thinking about retiring soon. You know, this type of market is clearly more of a threat for a retiree or a near retiree because they have a shorter investing time horizon. You know, on the flip side, a younger worker looking at a decade of stock prices really not going anywhere, that's actually good news because that's a really good opportunity for a younger person to load up on shares at reasonable prices before the next big secular bull market pushes those prices higher again. But, you know, for retirees, it may not be quite as dire as it seems at first because most retirement timeframes these days do extend out, you know, at least 10, 20 years, maybe even longer. So it's not the best for those already in retirement, but the silver lining for those folks is they are coming off a long period of big increases in their portfolio recently.
Yeah, that's helpful. Mark, obviously, inflation is a factor here. As you said, it was a factor in the 70s as well. It looks like getting back to the Fed's 2% inflation target is not in the cards anytime soon. How does that play into this?
Yeah, you know, that is a huge variable in all this, Rob, and a big wild card at this point still, because we really don't know. Is this going to be the kind of thing where we get the inflation rate down, but it levels off at, say, even 3 or 4%, which would be a lot better than today, but still about double what we've seen over the last decade? You know, that would have a big implication, and a lot of that implication might be on what types of stocks do well over the coming years. You know, this last 12 years, this big bull market run that we've had has largely been led by technology stocks. Well, they really benefit from an environment of low inflation, very low interest rates as a result. And when you have that type of low interest rate environment, companies that can grow earnings in a big way out into the future are really prized. When that flips and you have more of an inflationary environment like we had in the 70s, then investors tend to favor companies that make real stuff that hurts when you drop it on your foot. And so those types of stocks have really been out of favor for the last decade. We've seen just in the last year or two, energy stocks and things like that come a little bit back into favor, but still historically they look really cheap relative to technology stocks and those valuations. So that could be one big implication if inflation does stick around and is more sticky in the years ahead.
Yeah, very good. All right, well, I've asked Mark Biller to stick around for a bit longer to take your calls and questions. We've got phone lines open, 800-525-7000. When we come back, we'll take some of your questions. We'll also talk to Mark about whether this is a time to move from passive to active management if we're going to see perhaps one of these secular bear markets. Mark Biller with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543.
326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today. Investing expert Mark Biller, our guest today. He's also executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can check them out at soundmindinvesting.org. And while you're there, read this article we've been talking about today. It's really well done by Mark and his team, as they've done extensive research and analysis on whether or not we're potentially going to repeat some of what we experienced in the 1970s. The article is entitled 1970s Redux, and you can learn more there. We're also taking your calls and questions today, specifically on investing, for the next segment or so. Mark Biller here to answer your questions. What are you thinking about in terms of your investments, your investment strategy? We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 with lines open. Let's go to back to the phones. To Georgia we go. Lee, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I've been putting in 10% into my 401k, 5% Roth, 5% 401k. And in the last year, I've actually taken a personal rate of return at negative 17.19%. So my question is, should I reduce my, what I donate or what I give, excuse me, to 5% and take that other 5% and put it somewhere else until the market gets better?
Yeah. Mark, your thoughts on how to navigate a market like this with regard to 401k contributions?
Yeah, absolutely. Lee, let me ask you one thing. Do you have all of that money invested in stocks right now, or is it split between stocks and bonds and maybe some other things?
Honestly, I believe it's just stocks. I just signed up for the 2035
okay.
as my retirement, so it's all in that.
So it's in a 2035 fund of some sort, as far as you know? Okay.
Yeah, okay, good.
Well, those target date funds, those are really helpful because they are allocating the money for you between stocks and bonds in a way that is roughly appropriate, hopefully, based on the year that you pick of when you intend to retire. So one thing that you could do, Lee, if you wanted to reduce the risk a little bit, would be to either take a little bit of that money out and put it in a bond fund option within the plan, or you could pick a year that is a little bit further out for a little while for your contributions. I'm sorry, a little bit closer actually would make it more conservative. So like a 2030 fund or a 2025 option would make that a more conservative blend. Now, that said, I would not encourage somebody to lower the amount that they're contributing to the 401k overall. If a change is going to be made, my suggestion would be that they would alter the mix of assets within their account, but in the way that we're talking about, maybe allocating a little bit more to bonds in the short term until this market period, you know, kind of smooths out, but you don't really want to cut your overall contributions because there are limitations on those, and you may not be able to make up that difference later on by just contributing more. So I would encourage you to keep the contribution steady. If you feel the need to get more conservative, the best way to do that is by altering the mix, less stocks, more bonds. But I wouldn't go too heavy because we are already a decent ways into this bear market. Some people think it's over. Others are not so sure, but either way, you know, we're already down a decent amount. So I wouldn't want somebody to completely get out of stocks and go 100% bonds at this point. But it is possible to fairly easily alter that mix within your 401k and make it a little bit more conservative in the short term. Mm. Rob, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I completely concur. You know, Lee, it sounds counterproductive, and yet, as Mark said, this is the time when the market's down to be a steady Eddie in terms of continuing to dollar cost average into the market. And if, in fact, that 2035 target matches your retirement, that's probably about a 70-30, 70% stocks, 30% bonds. That's probably right. So unless you just have a real concern or you lack peace of mind about this, I'd probably stick with it at least until the market recovers and then begin, as Mark said, to move more conservative. But as long as you keep that contribution the same, if you felt better going ahead and getting a bit more conservative, you certainly could do that. We appreciate your call today. To Mississippi, Pat, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. I am 72 and a half. I have a retirement fund that my boss has contributed to through American Funds for 20 years, and there's probably, my husband and I took $50,000 out of that and bought a CD several years ago. It matures before the end of the year, and my husband passed away last October, and I'm going to be getting a $30,000 insurance fund for him. I'll have that mandatory draw that I have to take out of something before I turn 73. I have no clue what I should do.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your husband's passing, Pat. So you essentially will have this $80,000, the $50,000 coming due from the CD plus the from the insurance. And then what's remaining in that 401k?
Well, it's not actually a 401k. It's a SEP IRA.
Okay.
But it's probably about $60,000.
About $60,000 there. And how is that currently invested?
It was originally invested in American funds, but it was originally invested in no alcohol, no tobacco.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a conservative type.
Sure. But probably largely stocks. Yeah. And let me ask you a quick question, then we're going to take a break and we'll give you our thoughts. Are you needing to pull an income from any of this, or is this money that can just continue to grow?
Well, I will be retiring. I still haven't drawn a paycheck through the end of December.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's have you do this, Pat. You stay right there. When we come back after this short break, we'll give you our thoughts on this. We'll be right back on MoneyWise.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit moneywise.org/connect. That's moneywise.org/connect.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. As we establish our lifestyle and do our giving and pay down debt, we also want to be saving a portion for the future. That is, setting something aside to accommodate that day when we step away, perhaps from paid work. Not that we just should subscribe to the world's perspective on retirement per se. Our calling from the Lord doesn't have an expiration date, but we should be saving for the future. And I think as a steward, putting that money to work is really the way to go, but within sound biblical principles. And that's what we talk about each time Mark Biller is with us today. Mark is the executive editor at Sound Mind Investing. You can learn more at soundmindinvesting.org. Just before the break, we were talking to Pat. Pat is 72 and a half. She's about to start taking a required minimum. She's a widow. She's got to about $160,000 in investable assets, $60,000 in a SEP IRA, a $50,000 CD coming due, about to receive $30,000 in insurance proceeds. And then beyond that, bringing in about $1,200 a month in Social Security, and has an emergency fund that would cover at least 3 months' expenses. And Mark, she's wondering, you know, with the $60,000 that's in American funds, perhaps largely stocks, and then this CD coming due and the other $30,000, so a total of $80,000, given that she's really only tapping this for extra expenses, that which is, you know, over and above her normal monthly expenses, maybe a trip here or there, how do you think she should think about both the 60 that's currently invested and then this additional 80 that's going to be available?
Yeah, well, I like the way you framed that, Rob, because the key question in these types of situations really does come down to the budget and the cash flow needs that a person has after their Social Security. So if those basic living expenses are being met without needing to tap any of these investments, then that changes the picture quite a bit. It could be that when Pat takes the required minimum distribution from her SEP IRA this year, she'll get a handle on how much she can expect from that each year. And if all of those living expenses are being met, then the next principle that we would kind of turn to is you don't necessarily want to take more risk than you need to meet your goals. Yeah. Now you have to kind of balance that against the inflation situation that we have right now, because yes, real conservative investments like the CD that is maturing, those are losing purchasing power to inflation right now. Yeah. So if inflation stays high and you are overly conservative with how these things are invested, little by little, year by year, your purchasing power is going to be eroded. And that's an argument for keeping at least some of this, perhaps just the SEP IRA in Pat's case, invested in some stock funds, even though she's in retirement. So a mix of those stock investments along with some good broad bond mutual funds seems very appropriate. If rolling over that CD offers some comfort, that's an option. Otherwise, something on the safe side, like a short-term bond index fund might be an option for that. But, you know, there are a lot of moving pieces here. Pat, thankfully, has a lot of these boxes already checked with her budget and her cash flow needs met. But, you know, in these types of situations where you've got a lot of moving pieces, it's not a bad idea to look into getting some help and some counsel. You know, an advisor, even on a one-time basis, can be a lot of help in a situation like this, which is why I know you frequently point folks to the Kingdom Advisors website for local help. And, you know, our SMI advisory can also offer opinions on that, too. People can find out about that at soundmindinvesting.org. But getting that game plan in place at retirement time or at a time like this where there are some big life transitions can really be a big help. What would you say to that, Rob?
Well, I think that's well said. And so perhaps just to put a bow on that, either soundmindinvesting.org or Pat, find a local certified Kingdom advisor at moneywise.org. Just click find a CKA. But you're doing a great job. Let me just encourage you in that. I know Mark affirmed you as well.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
All the pieces that you have in place. And I think just finding the right next investment, as conservative as you want it to be, for that roughly $80,000 that you're going to have available makes some sense. We appreciate your call today. And then perhaps, Mark, I-bonds could be an option as well. And I think that's what Sheila would like to talk about in Oklahoma. Sheila, you're on MoneyWise. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. And this is my first time to ever call you. And I just appreciate what you do. But
well, we're delighted you did, Sheila. Thank you.
I am interested in an I-bond because of the interest it provides. And I'm 74 years old. I've been retired for 3 years, and I just wanted information. Is it safe?
Yeah, very good. Mark, we've been talking a lot about these. I know you all have several articles on the inflation bonds at soundmindinvesting.org as well. Give Sheila your thoughts on the safety and whether this is an attractive investment right now.
Yeah, Sheila, I think it's a great investment right now, which is surprising to me because I haven't been super big on these for a long time. But all of a sudden, with this inflation surge, these I-bonds are paying fantastic returns. You're up in the, I think the last I saw was somewhere north of 9% annual interest, which is just unheard of for a government bond right now. And the fact that it is a government bond really does make it a very safe proposition. I mean, the idea that the U.S. government is going to default on its debt in the near term is very, very unlikely. So I think it's a great option. There are some restrictions. It is a little bit more of a technical investment in that you have to make that investment directly through the government website. But all of those details, as Rob mentioned, we've covered that in a couple articles at our website. So if you'd like kind of a walkthrough of what these are, how do I do this, if you just search for I-bonds on the Sound Mind Investing website, you'll find a good walkthrough article there that can really answer those questions for you.
Yeah, I totally agree, Sheila. I would absolutely take a look at them. You can head to soundmindinvesting.org, and to place that direct investment to purchase the I-bonds, you have to do it through the electronic I-bonds at treasurydirect.gov. You can only put in up to $10,000 per person per calendar year, and you've got to keep it in for at least a year. That 9.62% Mark was talking about, which is fantastic, is available through November. It will adjust probably slightly downward when it adjusts in November, but you're still going to be looking at a very attractive rate. Again, treasurydirect.gov. Mark, before we wrap up here in this segment and then turn the corner to any financial question, we've got just a minute left. Sum up for us the work you were talking about in this article's 1970s Redux. What do we need to know?
Yeah, I think, Rob, the bottom line here is it's so easy, especially when the market's wild like it has been lately, to have our eyes so focused on the day-to-day gyrations that we kind of lose track of these longer-term cycles. And pulling back occasionally to see the forest for the trees can be really helpful as we figure out our long-term plan.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Well, this article could help you do just that. It's called 1970s Redux. It's at soundmindinvesting.org. Mark, as always, so grateful to have you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Always my pleasure, Rob.
All right. 800-525-7000 for any financial question on our final segment just after this break. Stay with us.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Always great to have our friend Mark Biller with us. He stops by periodically to give us his insights on the market. And by the way, if you would like to hear more from Mark Biller, we often talk here on MoneyWise about the freedom that comes from surrendering your finances to the Lord and applying his wisdom. Well, Mark has written a hopeful and encouraging article titled Financial Surrender, and it's featured today on MoneyWise.org. I'd love for you to check it out and be inspired to trust the Lord during this season. Alongside it, you'll find all of our featured reads there at MoneyWise.org. We aggregate content in addition to the content we produce from the leading voices in Christian finance. Again, you'll find it at MoneyWise.org, and featured today, an article from Mark Biller called Financial Surrender. We'd love for you to check it out. Well, and here in our final segment today, if you have a question, we have room perhaps for one or two more. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. Let me talk for a second about financial what-ifs. You know, as we talk about the market, the volatility that Mark was speaking about, he mentioned this idea of a secular bear market, and all of that sounds a little concerning, and especially if we're thinking about retirement, maybe we're getting a little closer than we thought. And all of these what-ifs can lead to fear in the area of finances. Well, the late Larry Burkett used to say that our anxieties usually are not related to the lack of things, but to the loss of things. Larry would go on to explain that one of Satan's favorite tools to discourage Christians is the question, what if? What if questions lead right down the road to fear? Maybe you've asked one of these questions recently. What if the economy gets worse and I can't pay my bills? What if I don't have enough money for retirement? What if we have a medical emergency and our insurance isn't enough? What if my spouse dies? Or what if I can't find an affordable car? What if I lose my job? You know, the problem with what if is that it makes us think that what might go wrong in the future, and we can't see the future. but we worry about it anyway, don't we? And worry leads to fear, and fear is a spiritual trap. Fear is the opposite of trust, and when you stop trusting God, you're right where the enemy wants you, taking your eyes off the goodness of God and focusing on our own problems instead. You know, it's all about perspective, folks. Fear or trust? And here's the antidote to fear. You know, when anxiety takes over, we can turn to God's word for encouragement. Listen to this. Jesus says in John 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You see, when financial worries seem overwhelming, it helps to remember that we don't ever have to be afraid. As believers, we can endure any troubles with the confidence that God is good. Listen to Isaiah 41:13. It says, "I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" You see, God is in control of all of the details, and he will provide what we need at just the right time. As Larry used to say, we mentioned Larry Burkett a moment ago, never late, but seldom early. Here's Psalm 27. Maybe this will be an encouragement. Verse 1, it reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" You know, the enemy wants us to worry about what we might lose. But in Christ, we gain so much more, including peace, no matter what. One final verse to encourage you today to overcome fear. This comes from 1 Timothy 1:7. It reads, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In Christ, we can steer clear of the what-ifs and that what-if mentality and trust God with the future. So in these challenging times when your anxiety begins to bubble up and the what-ifs start, go back and meditate on God's word. I know it will be an encouragement because he has conquered all of it, and we can rest on that today. All right, as we round out our program today, boy, we've covered a lot of ground. Let's head back to the phones and finish out with one or two more phone calls. Todd is in Ohio. Todd, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I'm coming up on 59 and a half. Yes, the way sir. I understand it, you can pull your 401 out.
That's right.
It won't be taxed.
Well, and it will be taxed, just to clarify that. It will be taxed. You just won't have a 10% penalty on top of the tax.
Okay. So what I was thinking was I have a bad back and issues with that. So I would like to get my house paid for before anything bad or serious happens. So what's your thoughts on me pulling my money out of my 401 and paying off my house?
When you say bad or serious happens, are you talking about with your health, or are you talking about with the economy, or what are you referring to?
No, with my back. I got a back.
Okay, yeah.
I should be disabled, but I'm not. So.
I see. All right. And yeah, and basically what you would be doing is you would be looking to pay off the house. I understand you have a bad back. Did you say you are continuing to work, or you're not able to now?
Yes, sir. No, I'm working right now, and I put 10% in my 401 out of my check, and the company matches me 2%.
Okay, yeah. And based on what you know today, how long would you expect to continue to working, just based on what you know about your health situation and how long you had anticipated working?
Well, I mean, I have to work at least until 67, so.
Okay, so you got another 7 years.
Well, so.
Yeah, very good. And how much do you have left on the house?
I think it's like $30,000.
All right. And if you continue on the track you're on right now, Todd, when would you have that paid off if you didn't pull any money out of the 401k or sell the truck?
Man, without talking to my wife, I wouldn't know exactly.
Okay. Well, that would be something to look at. I mean, here's my perspective on that. This is still expensive money in the 401k. And the reason I say that is, number one is the reason we put it there is we want it to be growing so that when you get to 67, you've got a bit of a nest egg there that's been compounding over time that you can use to supplement Social Security to support your needs on a monthly basis, number one. Number two, we're at a period right now where that account's probably down a bit, even though the market market's recovered in the last several, 4 weeks, you're probably down on that. So now's not a great time to pull it out. Number three, my goal, unless you just either have a conviction from the Lord to be debt-free as soon as possible, or unless you have really surplus beyond what you're trying to save for retirement, my perspective is let's try to sync up the payoff of the house with your retirement date. Now, if you can do it before, great, but at least by your retirement. So that way, as you enter retirement, we've got your expenses as low as possible, and that's really the key. And then if we can do that out of cash flow, then we're preserving that 401k, which would allow it to recover, hopefully grow over the next 7 years between now and your retirement. And not having you paying any extra tax either along the way. So if it were me, I'd probably leave that account right there. If you have an extra vehicle that you don't need, now's a great time to sell it, just because used car prices are way up. So that's an option, and that could be put toward the house. But if not, you hang on to the truck if you need it. And I would just perhaps have your wife check with the mortgage company to say, can you run an amortization schedule? That's what it's called, when the payback schedule. Can you run an amortization schedule to tell us what we would need to send every month? And if anything above the scheduled mortgage payment, let us know, in order to have this paid off, this $30,000 paid off in 7 years. I think that would be great. But if it were me, I'd consider selling the truck. I wouldn't pull from the 401k. Does that all make sense?
Yes, sir, it does. I used to talk to Dan Celia. And a great man of God, but anyway,
yes.
He told me at one time that I should move anything that doesn't match what my company puts in to another account.
Yeah. Well, you certainly can do that, and I agree. I didn't know Dan personally, have a lot of respect for what he did, and his passing was just an enormous loss for all of us here. Certainly not for him. He's with the Lord. But delighted to be able to step in here and just be an encouragement to God's people after his passing. What I would say to that, Todd, is the question is, where are you going to put that? I agree with Dan. We certainly want to max out the matching portion of the 401k. But the extent to which we don't have other options beyond, the $7,000 you could put into an IRA, to allow this money to grow tax deferred, I actually would differ slightly and just say I'd go ahead and still continue to put your 10% into the 401k. I think that's your best option, and I'm not concerned about the government coming and taking those funds or anything like that. We'd have to see a lot of changes legislatively for anything close to that to happen. And, I don't see that on the horizon.
Well, just before you came on, or I came on, I heard you talking, and I'm like, I think he's answering all my questions right now.
Okay.
I love the verse, be still and know that I am God,
Yeah. I do too.
I greatly appreciate your thoughts.
Well, thanks so much, Todd, and appreciate your kind remarks, and thanks for mentioning Dan Celia. I know a lot of folks listening to us share your sentiments. God bless you, my friend, and all that God has for you in the days ahead, and we appreciate your call. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us as we round out the program today. Such a privilege to be able to come alongside you each morning as we mine the scriptures and apply God's timeless truths to the decisions and choices we have with his money. Remember, he's the owner. We're the steward or the manager. Money is then a tool to accomplish God's purposes. So we need to hold it loosely and give it generously. We need to seek the heart of the master as a steward, which means we need to know what God's word says. So renew your mind each day. Meditate on the scriptures around money in particular and see what God has for you throughout the counsel of scripture. And then act accordingly in faith through prayer, making decisions each day to be found faithful. That's the ultimate goal. I want to say thank you to my team today, Mr. Robert Sutherland, providing great research. Thankful for Devin Patrick as well, our engineer and producer, and Pat Montague doing an amazing job handling our phones. Thank you for being along with us as well. Come back and join us tomorrow. I'll be here, Lord willing, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.